Sí, ya está, sí.
Gentlemen, moderators, Mr. Ross, brothers, sisters, Christ, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Ross, I wonder, did you get your Greek degree out of a matchbook or something? He tells us that the meaning of the word new, chart 166, the new and living way means freshly slaughtered. Mr. Ross, did you check Thayer on that? Did you know that's the etymology of the word? But then in point two he says, very lately made new, and cites Hebrews 10:20. Do you know that was in there? Did you think we'd not check on you? And he says in Ecclesiastes 1:9, talking about nothing new under the sun. Was he talking about something freshly slaughtered? No, he wasn't, was he, Mr. Ross? So you just watch it, please. A new and living way. Not something freshly slaughtered, but Thayer says, very lately made new. Not the cleansing of the physical self, the cleansing of the flesh, but by the blood of Christ entered into the holy place through his flesh. That is the new and living way. So, Mr. Ross, we're not going to let you get by with that. And shame. You talk about mishandling, Mr. Ross. You talk about mishandling something. Thou art the man, sir. Thou art the man. Keep that open because we'll need it after he gets through next time. And then he said, well, we don't pray for salvation. I wonder, Mr. Ross, do you read your own stuff you're passing out? Here is how you should call upon the Lord to save you. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I confess that I've been trusting myself to keep my salvation. I know I'm kept by the power of God. And then he says, and he goes on, and right now I believe. So he's praying, please come into my life and take control. Amen. But he said, we don't pray. Well, I have a little thing here that talks about Bethel Baptist Church. You reckon where you ever saw that? And then I have something here by Pastor Kent Brandenburg. And it says, quote, he wants to save you from sin and hell. He wants to give you eternal life. Now's the best time for you to pray and receive him. So you better get your literature straight. All that stuff y'all picking up, he just denied and denounced. He said prayer wasn't involved. What's wrong with you, Mr. Ross? You think you can get up here and get by with stuff like that? You might with a novice like yourself, but you're not going to get by with it here. We're not going to let you, sir. And you see, that was his little out, you see, that nothing else was involved. He said, do you have an obedient faith when you're on the way to be baptized? I said, well, do you have an obedient faith while you're praying for salvation? He said, there's no prayer in it. I beg to differ. Either you're wrong or your tracks. Get up and denounce your brother Kent here. He's the one wrote it or put his name on it. I know it's rough. And then he said, the whole counsel of God. He said, we ought to study to show thyself to prove. Preach the whole counsel of God. He said, he just puts up a few verses. Chart 28. Just puts up a few verses. I wonder, Mr. Ross, is this part of the whole counsel of God? Chart 56. He said, he just puts up a few verses. I wonder, Mr. Ross, is this part of the whole counsel of God? Chart 78. He said he just gives a few verses. He ought to give the whole counsel of God. I ask you, Mr. Ross, is this chart 56? That's his gospel. That's not part of the gospel. All right, now notice it. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Is that part of the whole counsel? 58. Now notice it, friends, the difference. And what was that other one we said? Was that 58 I had? Okay. The knots in the devil's tail is what I... Okay. But anyway, we've got to move along. All right. And then he came and he was very disappointed and answered a question two. You remember what he said in question two? I answered the question. Here it is. Can you name a verse in the Gospel of John that teaches that you need to be baptized to be saved? Yes, no. He said, can you name the verse? I said, yes. I beg to differ, sir. I answered your question. Yeah. I answered it. The question didn't say name a verse. It said, can you name a verse? Yes or no? Yes. Yes, I can. Chart 115. Now here's the answer, Mr. Ross. Faith in all those John 6 and John 3 passages he used, John, all of those passages, all of them say, as faith here is used in the Bible, all of them show that faith embraces a conviction of joyful trust conjoined with obedience. And notice these have been cited here all along. He that believeth and is baptized, John 3:16-18. Believe and have everlasting life. He that obeyeth not the Son shall not see life, American Standard. And this is the work of God that you believe, and liveth and believeth, more than just believing, living and believing. And so we showed that time and time and time again, Mr. Ross. And so we have answered your question. And that's how that you get it in there. And he said, no repentance in the Gospel of John. How do you get it there, Mr. Ross? If that kicks out baptism, then it kicks out repentance, doesn't it? It kicks out repentance on the very same basis. Chart 338. Now remember, through the same door, sir, that you bring repentance, though it's not mentioned, you said in John, through the same door you bring repentance with faith is the same door through which I bring baptism, sir. There's your answer. We may give you a little more later if you're lucky. And then he said, logical fallacies. Back to logical, and by the way, Mr. Ross said the other night that a man that's guilty of a logical fallacy, that can condemn you to hell. Unless you're a Baptist, once you're saved, you're always saved, and you can pervert the scripture, like Hebrews 10:20, and talk about a new and living way, you can pervert it, and it won't condemn you to hell, because once you're saved, you're always saved. He doesn't think he's in any danger for having done that. That's why he can do it, and he did it. Thank you, Mr. Ross. We're talking about character here, remember? He was real big on his character, a little fantasy. You give us some more, sir. And he said, well, he said, faith and repentance are indissolubly linked. Chart 300. Indissolubly linked. Mr. Ross, have you never read, John came into you in the way of righteousness and you believed him not? But the public is in the heart that's believed him and you, when you had seen it, repented not afterward that you might believe him. Indissolubly linked? Is that what that looks like? Does it look like they're indissolubly linked? Now don't get up here and say, Campbellism, Campbellism. Alexander Campbell did write that. Chart 294. Notice it, please. Repent ye therefore and be converted. Now watch. At repentance, you should have faith, because once they repent, look at it. Repent, there's faith, he says. They're indissolubly linked. So repent, believe, and be converted. After you repent, believe, he says, then you're converted that your sins may be blotted out. Did you know that word that there is ace, Mr. Ross? Did you? Did you know it? And did you know, Mr. Ross, repent, believe ye therefore, you would say, and be converted because your sins are already blotted out. What about it, Mr. Ross? Come on now, will you tell us? Chart number 295. Chart number 295. He says faith, repentance are the same. They're simultaneous. That's his word. That's as my opponent contends. When those above repented, they also at the same time believed. So after one believes, repent, he still does not have his sins blotted out, for he must yet be converted or turn again. It's an active word. He won't deny it. And he must yet be converted. Well, maybe he will. That's what he did to Hebrews 10. But at any rate, now notice it, one believes, repents, he must yet be converted or turn again so, or in order that, his sins may be blotted out. Barnes said, in order that your sins may be forgiven, Mr. Ross. After he has repented and believed, must the saved one of your proposition turn or be converted so that his sins may be blotted out? I'm asking you, Mr. Ross, you talk about asking a few questions, we got a few. And then he came to Abraham, chart 211. Abraham's faith, counted for righteousness, was an obedient faith and had been for many years. Folks, when he cites Genesis 15:6 and says his faith was counted to him for righteousness, don't you forget that by faith, more than two decades later, earlier, by faith, Abraham obeyed and he went out of the Ur of the Chaldees. By faith, he obeyed. Years later, after his obedient faith, The Bible says he believed and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Verse 1 of Genesis 15 says, God was his shield before his faith was counted to him for righteousness. 15:1 says, God said, I am your shield. In Deuteronomy 33:29, God said, he's the shield of his people. So God was one of his people before Genesis 15:6, before faith, according to you. So Abraham's justifying faith, unlike that of opponent, had steps to walk in. And he said, we're to walk in the steps of our father Abraham. But if all works of obedience are excluded by Romans 4, faith too is eliminated, for it is a work. Chart number 279. Chart number 279, yes. Now notice, Abraham believed and his faith was counted as for righteousness. I asked you last night, Mr. Ross, and I'm asking you again tonight. And we wonder if you'll give us one of your translations, sir. You're the Greek scholar. The Bible says his faith was counted to him as righteousness. Was his faith counted because of righteousness he already had? Tell us, Mr. Ross. These people are going to want to know now. You need to tell us. 280. My opponent says, well, this means his faith was counted for righteousness. That means by faith only. Let the Holy Spirit explain, not Mr. Ross. God made promise to Abraham saying, I will bless thee. That's back in Genesis 12. And so, after, not before, he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now folks, you can see that. And that's what this faith business is all about. That's what we're talking to you about. And he talked about this logical fallacy. No passage says, don't be baptized. Chart 60. He said, no passage says, don't be baptized. All right, now notice, please. Notice with me here. He who marries and is bossed will be henpecked. But he, misprint here, he who does not marry will not be henpecked. Do you have to say he who does not marry and is bossed? No, because if he doesn't marry, see, he's not going to be bossed in that relationship. See, you don't have to say and is not baptized. You see, these people can see that. I know they can. And then he came to Ace Christ. He said, the Bible says we believe in Christ, believe in Christ, believe in Christ. Yes, Mr. Ross, chart 142. Yes, we believe in Christ, and I believe that. I read about some fellows here, and nevertheless among the chief rulers also many believe in him. When he reads that, he wants to explain it out. But the Bible says, now according to him, when they believed, Ace him. Remember all the passage he said, believed him, believed him. These folks believed as him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they be put out of the synagogue. Why? They love the praise of men more than the praise of God. Does Jesus accept a man who loves men more than God? He that loveth father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. You know he doesn't. That's a belief as Christ. And he tries to explain it away. Well, it doesn't mean this. Well, it doesn't mean it when he doesn't want it to mean it. He reads believe in Christ, and he says, oh, that's the way you get in. He reads it here, and he said, doesn't mean it. That's what he said the other night. Chart 141. Same thing, folks. Did you know that the Bible says many believed on him, ace him, in John 8:30-31? But then later Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. Those who had believed as him, Mr. Ross. 115, please. Remember what the belief is there. All right. Then he came to Gar. He wanted to know more about Gar. Chart number 67. Now notice it, please. No, Mr. Ross, I did not explain all the other Gars because I had one point in mind. It wasn't deception, but I'm not afraid of it, as I'll show you. The reason we're not under the law, the reason you're not under the law, Gar, to introduce the reason, to show why you're not under the law, is because you are all the children of God by faith in Jesus. Not out of him, but in him. Well, now remember, notice, yes, by faith in Christ, we're children of God. We are presently. Why? For, to introduce the reason, to show the cause. As many of you as have been. Other versions say as many of you were, past tense. The reason that you're not, that you are now children of God by faith in Christ is because as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, to put on Christ. And he said, you put on the robe. He said, you put on the robe. But Mr. Ross, did you know you're not in the robe till you put him on, put it on? The robe is Christ, you're not in him till you put him on. And the Bible says that happens when you're baptized. Chart 73, please.
5 minutes.
Oh, my. This is awful. I know. All right, now notice. Notice it, please. We're not justified by the works of the law. Righteousness doesn't come by the works of the law. Because you had to continue in all of that to be saved. If you committed one sin, you were lost. Moses described the righteousness of the law. The man that doeth those things will be justified by them. But the law was our schoolmaster. Now watch it. To bring us unto Christ that we might be justified by faith. After that faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. For, gar, the reason is, you're all the children of God by faith in Christ. And why is that? For as many of you have been baptized in Christ, have put on Christ. 40. Next one. 70. We are not justified by works of the law, but by the faith and grace of Christ. To be saved by the law, you'd have to keep it all. Never sin, but we all sin. All have sinned. Now, the reason we're children of God by faith is because we've been baptized into Christ. Now, listen. Since Paul did not equate being baptized into Christ with being justified by the works of the law, neither should we. All right. Chart 70. Mr. Ross, we showed you that gar means to give the reason, introduce the cause of. That's what the scholars say. Chart 71. We've shown you that. Chart 64. Chart 64. By grace through faith, not by works. I preached this Monday and Tuesday, sir. You haven't answered this argument yet. They were saved by grace through faith, not of works. That only that was said to folks who had heard, believed, repented, confessed, and been baptized, Mr. Ross. And he said, you folks, stop trusting in baptism for salvation. And he said it with great earnest, said, stop trusting in baptism for salvation. Mr. Ross, would you stop trusting in baptism for church membership? Y'all trust in a work that's not of the gospel, not of the law, according to you. They trust not in the Lord for church membership. They trust in water baptism for church membership. And he said, Paul didn't preach any baptism.
3 minutes.
We'll get those ready. 2:2, preach Christ and Him crucified, begotten by the gospel, preach Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. Acts 18:8, after he preached nothing but Christ and Him crucified, Acts 18:8 says, many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. 1 Corinthians 6:11, put it down, Mr. Ross. You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's what they were. 1 Corinthians 6:11, justified, washed, sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus. Chart 28. Chart 28. All right. Thank you very much. In the name of the Lord Jesus. All right, let's get those charts rolling. We notice now we have an award to give to Mr. Ross. Chart 321. He has earned it. He has earned the foul-ups, fumbles, and stumbles earn him the bloopers and blunders of the week award. He charged that I wrest the scriptures and that I force meanings. When we just caught him in a major malfunction. He said, Hafley doesn't believe he that believeth and the baptized shall be saved. You remember him saying that? Because I thought that somebody might be lost. And we showed him that he believes that the unbeliever might become a believer. And so he wouldn't believe the last part. Ross wanted and is not baptized in Mark 16. But he that eateth and digesteth shall live. He that eateth not shall die. He's missed the whole point, you see. He said, Ross said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be glorified the first night. So, Mr. Ross, that makes salvation, water baptism, essential to being glorified. You use Romans 8:30 on your glorification. But Monday night you said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be glorified, not saved. So that was a blunder. Mr. Ross says, believe, save, baptize. Jesus said, believe and baptize shall be saved. Chart number 347. He said, for means because of, but means in order to, in Matthew 26, 28. Talk about a man getting it like he wants it, one time this, one time that.
1 minute.
And he talked about logically fallacious arguments condemning us to hell unless you're a Baptist. He called us Campbellites, but he cited Campbell as his authority. You remember that? He cited Campbell as his authority on a history of baptism and called me a Campbellite. But he never did cite anything that we teach that originated with Campbell, 340, 348. He claimed Bethel Baptist is the Church of Christ, but he identifies it as Bethel Baptist, not Church of Christ. He said Haefeli's typo proves his doctrine false, but his booklet had 13 errors. He had no scriptural way to deny, to negate he that believed baptized should be saved, and he cited the Book of Mormon as his authority. Couldn't cite the Bible, see. Called us the synagogue of Satan, the whore of Babylon, and said those who say he that believe and baptized should be saved are the whore of Babylon. That's what he said. It's on record. He argued it. If he denies it, we'll produce it. Chart 3-4. Time? Is that? Wow. Folks, that is the fastest 20 minutes in this world.
Let me first begin. I need to justify the Hebrews 10 thing. I thought it was interesting. He mentioned that Thayer actually had freshly killed him there, and then he just said, but it was something else. The word only appears there in the verse. It appears one time in the whole Bible. It's a hapax legomena. It appears one time. So what you want to do also, if you're going to see what the word means, you look at it, how it's used in extra-biblical literature. And so the Liddell Scott lexicon here is the lexicon for extra-biblical literature. Okay, it's Greek literature outside the Bible and so on. Let me read you part of the definition here if you want to see if it's in here. It's up here afterwards. You can look at it, see that we're not just pulling this out of nowhere. If you look on any lexicon, it's going to have freshly slaughtered in there. But part of the definition, I'm not going to read the whole thing. This is a big, long definition. There's lots of uses and all kinds of things. But prosphaton, the word is given. One of the definitions there is freshly slaughtered. Fresh, not decomposed. Uncoagulated. Things like that. So it's in here. You don't believe it? Take a look afterwards. We'll show it to you. And you can look at it for yourself and see what's going on with that. So I want to mention that for you. Now, I think it's important. I'm going to recap a number of things here. And I want you to realize these things because this is the truth. This is the God's gospel. First of all, this is you. This is what you are, friends. This is what you are until you've been born again. Your heart is deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. That's the way we start out. The Bible says, "Behold, I was shapen in iniquity and sin did my mother conceive me." The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Now, you cannot like that if you want, but that's what the Bible says. Genesis 6:5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." This is how you are until you're born again. Every imagination of thoughts of your heart is only evil continually, and you've been that way from the time you're born. Romans 8:8-9, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Until you're in the spirit, friends, you cannot please God. If you've not been born again the way the Bible says, nothing you've done your entire life, my friends, has pleased God. Absolutely nothing. Your prayers aren't acceptable. Nothing you've done is acceptable to God. It may be, I'm not saying, you know, it's better to go out and kill somebody or something, but whatever you do, it's not actually acceptable to God because you haven't come through the mediator, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why, as this passage says here in Romans 8, says that your damnation is just. It says, Paul says that people that were attacking the gospel, that were slanderously reporting about the gospel, saying that he was saying, let us do evil, the good may come. But my friend's saying, we're saying that their damnation is just. Then he says, what then? Are we better than they? Are we better than those whose damnation is just? No, in no wise. For we have before proven both Jews and Gentiles, they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Nobody's righteous until he's born again. Then you have Christ's righteousness, not your own righteousness. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. You're so bad, even by your nature, that you won't even seek after God unless God gives you, God draws you by His grace. And by the way, He said that salvation is by grace in the verses about grace. Yeah, God's grace is revealed to all men, but that's saving grace, right? Grace in relation to salvation. We're saying that it's not like giving rain and stuff. The word of grace isn't used for that. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. That's what the Bible says you are until you're born again. And if you want to be justified, but put up chart SR17, please. You want to be justified, you want to keep yourself from being lost, these are some things you have to do. You want to keep yourself saved by continuing faithful to your own things. Consider this. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all. You keep yourself saved, go ahead, try it. Keep the whole law, offend in one point, you're guilty of all. You don't love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength perfectly all the time? And if you say that you do that, you're proud, my friend. You don't do that all the time, you're guilty, like you've broken the whole law. Matthew 5:48, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Obey that, or you can't be justified by following what God wants you to do. Okay? 1 Peter 1 says, be ye holy even as God is holy. That's what you have to do, that's God's standard. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. Talk about the works of the law. Law refers in the Bible not just to Mosaic things. It refers to what God wants you to do. The word law is not used in the Bible exclusively of things that are Mosaic. For example, Romans 2 talks about the law written in the heart of the Gentile. That law was written in their heart. The word law is used of the Ten Commandments, all kinds of things. It's not just talking about Mosaic ceremonies. Law is what God wants you to do. And if you're of the works of the law, you're seeking to be justified by obeying what God says, you're cursed. Because it's written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So that's what you have to do. You have to obey that perfectly. And you can't do that. So if you want to keep yourself saved, go for it. Do all that and you'll be fine. Okay? But if you can't do that, you better be justified by Christ and His righteousness alone, not by a mixture of your righteousness and His righteousness. Put up chart R8, please. My friend, Mr. Hapley here, says that believing you have to have this act of faith, and, you know, James 2, we go to James 2, and you mentioned James 2 before as well, but we have on this chart all the places where it shows that when you believe, that belief in baptism, you know, that you have active faith, and that the believing, when you're baptized, all these verses right here, this is all the verses where it says that believe equals baptized in the box. I printed them all. In the box below are all the verses where believe means eating Krispy Kremes. All the verses, equal number of verses. There's an equal number of verses where it says that you must, that when Jesus says stuff like, God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You say, oh, it says whosoever believeth doesn't mean that. It means whosoever is baptized has everlasting life if he continues faithful enough. You can have an equal number of verses that show that believe means baptized and continuing faithful as the number of verses where it says believe equals eating Krispy Kremes. There's an equal number of verses that show that. Could you put up chart R9, please? R9, then in other words, none. You can't just read into verses like that. When the Bible says believe, it means having an intellectual understanding, which is what the people in Acts 2 did when they were pricked in their heart, having an intellectual understanding, accepting the facts as true, you actually trust or rely upon Christ. My friend said that repentance and faith can't be simultaneous because there's an and there. When he also did the other thing there. Look at this, Matthew 16:6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Watch and pray. So you have to, you know, and say, repent, you believe the gospel, love your enemies and do good and lend. Take heed and beware, search and look, for out of Galilee ariseth no prophet. Get thee quickly, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem. Break forth and cry, do ye joy and rejoice. Do you have to joy before you can rejoice? Obviously, the fact that and is there doesn't prove it's subsequent. So saying, repent and be converted proves it's subsequent. That's just, it's It's crazy. It's not a valid argument. Put up chart A2, please. A2. By the way, we quoted Matthew 21:32, where it says that the Pharisees didn't believe not that they might repent. The word repent in that verse is actually not the normal word for repent. It's metamelomai, means they were sorry, not metaneo, which is the basic word for, normal word for repent, where it's simultaneous. So he's using a different word. I don't know if he knew it was the same word or not. It's not the same word. Okay? So, when the Bible says over and over and over again that when you believe you're justified, it means when you believe. It means when you, having an understanding, you repent and you place your faith in Christ, that moment you're justified. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him, places your faith in Him, should not perish, but have eternal life. That's God's promise. He's explaining how to be born again. My friend never gave the answer to some of the questions, like in John 3, where the verse is really, just put a little chart there, the nifty chart argument. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God says, whosoever believeth has eternal life, everlasting life, that's His promise. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Do you believe before you're baptized? You sure do. But, and there's a number of verses said that, equal number of verses say you have to eat Krispy Kremes and say that believe doesn't mean believe, it means be baptized. But the Bible says when you believe on Him, you are, present tense, not condemned. God says it, present tense, not condemned. How do we know you're condemned? You are condemned if you haven't believed, the Bible says, but he that believeth not is condemned already. We know that because it says it. There's no verse that says he that is not baptized is condemned already, but the Bible says he that believeth not is condemned already. It says, except you repent, you shall likewise perish. We have tons and tons of verses over and over and over again in the Bible that say that, but my friend is still basically going with four verses. Mark 16:16 is logical fallacy. Acts 2:38, where he says it means four ace means one thing in one verse and another thing in another verse. Well, of course it means one thing in one verse and another thing in another verse. There's 10 main usages, 29 different subheadings. Of course it means one thing in one verse and another thing in another verse, okay? Obviously, it means many, many different things. My friend needs to prove that all those verses, the verses, just bunches and bunches and bunches of verses that say when you believe you're justified, he has to prove that Acts 2:38 has to mean in order to. Even though in other verses where ace is used with reference to baptism, it means on account of, like in Matthew 3:11. He has to prove that he can't, so we're going to ignore all the other verses to prove his thing. So chart L7, please. Now, in terms of the praying, like we said, if you pray and you repent and believe, that's a great thing, and that often happens. There was a publican said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. When he believed, he was justified. That was a great thing, but you're saved by repentance and faith. So trying to put some little thing there doesn't really help you. Galatians chapter 5, the Bible says, behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if he be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by the law, seeking to be justified by the law. You are fallen from grace. They are rejecting grace if they are seeking to be justified by the law. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. You did run well, so on. How much needs to be added to grace to nullify it? One work will nullify it, including one ritual. People in Galatia were convinced they believed in Jesus, but Paul says that adding even circumcision to grace will nullify grace. Christ's work, His death, is made of no effect unto you. You become a debtor to do the whole law. Circumcision wasn't wrong, just like baptism isn't wrong. You can fill baptism in where circumcision goes, and it will do the same thing to grace, nullify it. Anyone who argues that baptism is different than circumcision should remember that in the same book, Galatians 3:21, it says, is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. Leave that for a second. So you can see, it isn't just the law of Moses. You're not saved by doing Moses' law, but by doing some other law. There has been no law given which can give life. No law at all. Not the law of the assembly. No kind of law has been given that can give life. When the Bible says law of faith, it means you believe in Him. No law, in terms of what you do, can give you life. Any law depending upon, in addition to grace, will nullify it. The reason they want to persuade you of baptism and works is the same reason with the Galatian legalists, Galatians 6:13, for neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised that they may glory in your flesh. That's fundamentally the reason. Chart SR13, please. SR13. That's the basic reason about what's going on here. So if you believe that in addition to believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, you must be baptized to be justified, you do not have grace, you do not believe in Jesus Christ, you have a dead faith. You do not have saving faith if you believe that. Ephesians 2:8-10. Is grace and works exclusive in reference to being justified? Not talking about Jericho in terms of living for God. Are they exclusive in terms of being justified? Yes. The Bible says, by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves is the gift of God. Look at here. If by grace, then is it no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Justification is either 100% by God's grace, or it's 100% by your works. You can't combine them. And it's by grace, not by the works, through faith, through trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's either one or the other. You can't combine them. Say, well, what about, aren't there other conditions, like doesn't the blood of Christ dying? Those are conditions on God's part. We're talking about what we have to do. We either believe by God's grace, and we're saved by grace through faith, or we work. Can't do both. Can't combine them. Can't combine them. Now, put up chart SR16, please. My friend Mr. Hafley never went through this passage and actually just exposited the passage because, well, why do that when you have a slick chart instead? Chart the Romans 4, 1 through 8, using Abraham as an example. Abraham wasn't under the Mosaic law, was he? No. If Abraham were justified by works, if he were declared righteous in the sight of God, not shown righteous before man, as James 2 talks about, but if Abraham were justified in the sight of God by works, he hath the word of the glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. I'm not saying this is necessarily the point that Abraham, you know, would have gone to hell before that, but it's still an example that Paul's using to say that Abraham believed, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now look what his conclusion is from this. Now to him that worketh, not just works some kind of really special thing, worketh, period. Him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, undeserved favor, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him. See, you can't be working and believing on him. They're exclusive, one from the other. And you can't put up some chart that doesn't explain that. It says you're either working or you're believing on him that justifies the ungodly. His faith is counted for righteousness. You have the righteousness of Christ when you believe, just as Abraham did. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. David, Abraham, us too, you either have to be working or you have to be believing. Can't have a combination of those two. Chart A9, please. A9, and then get A10 ready. You're either doing the one or you're doing the other. If you're trusting in anything in addition to Christ, you're working and trying to believe as well, you don't believe in him at all. You do not believe in him at all. Are they works of faith rather than works of Moses' law by which we are saved? It is impossible to demonstrate that all the verses of Scripture which refer to salvation apart from the law refer merely to that given by Moses. The continued contrast between righteousness of the law and the righteousness which is of God by faith shows that the biblical contrast between justification simply by trusting or relying on Christ and all actions whatever. The Bible explicitly states that no law of any kind has ever been given which can bring forgiveness. We talked about that already. Number 4, many verses say that salvation's promise, salvation to everyone that believeth, and affirm it is to him that worketh not, but believeth, not by works of righteousness, not by just works of Moses' law, any kind of righteous work. It's not by works of righteousness. And through faith, not of works, without any reference or limitation to Moses or use of the word law at all. A10. Chart A10. We are not saved by good works. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy saved us by the washing and the regeneration, which is the blood of Christ, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Him that worketh not but believeth. Mentioned that already. 2 Timothy 1:9, who hath saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, according to his own purpose and grace. That one again, a bunch of other verses as well. Chart R1D, please. R1D. And against, we have tons and tons of verses that show this. By the way, when my friend was trying to explain Galatians 3, he didn't mention verse 28. Did you notice that? Did you notice he did verse 26, 27, didn't say a word about verse 28? He said in verse 26, the gar is explaining before. Verse 27, the gar is explaining before. But in verse 28, if the gar is explaining what's before, then it's saying that you're in Christ, that they're one in Christ, and that's the reason they were baptized. And he was mum, completely mum about that. And that's because he can't explain it. What he doesn't say, he does a nifty quote thing. Take a section of Thayer, take a section of this over here, put it together, ignore that we're talking about guards in a context like that. Now, my friend, on Mark 16:16, he has 4 verses, basically. 4 verses, dozens and dozens of verses that affirm you're justified by faith, 4 verses that affirm his thing. He says, you don't believe, you're damned. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. I believe that. If you believe and you're baptized, you will be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. There's no verse in the Bible that says if you aren't baptized, you're going to be damned. There is a verse in the Book of Mormon that says that. We're using that as illustration. He knows that we weren't using Book of Mormon as an authority. He knows we're using it as an illustration. The Book of Mormon, though, says, whoso believeth not in me and is not baptized shall be damned. If there was one verse in the Bible that said that, we would have a right to believe it, but there isn't. There isn't one, but we have dozens and dozens of verses that say other things. Also, look at the following context of Mark 16 and the verses after that. It shows that it mentions after that, that these signs shall follow them that believe. What signs? All these signs that are listed, including speaking in tongues. Do we have people speaking in tongues before they're baptized? As Mark 16 mentions, we sure do. In Acts 10, they did. They spoke in tongues. They had spiritual gifts before that time. So that doesn't work for you at all there. Now, you know, you are going to have to actually study these things out for yourself, okay? You have his stuff, you have this thing, you're going to have to look it all up, okay? Somebody here is preaching a completely false gospel that's going to condemn you to hell. Either those four verses or the dozens of verses over here, and those four, we've explained all what those four verses mean already. So something's going on with that, and if you believe that you have to do works in order to, you have to do good works in order to believe in Jesus Christ to be justified, you are not saved. You're not saved, and you better study this stuff out. Because if you continue to believe that one day, there's gonna come a day when you see that your misinterpretation, those four verses, isn't gonna help you. When you stand before God and you see that the scriptures have no private interpretation, and you see that you're trusting in those things, you're changing believing to baptized in dozens and dozens of verses, but you rejected that, you're gonna regret that. You're going to severely regret that. You're going to severely regret it that you exalted your own righteousness so that you thought you can continue and you can be faithful enough to be saved by continuing faithful. You're going to regret that when you see that one day that Christ and His righteousness is sufficient, and that when you believe in that, you have all your sins taken care of. Even as Hebrews 10:14 mentions, you're perfected forever when you're sanctified. You're perfected forever at that time. And you're going to have to make a choice about that. And don't make the wrong decision about that. Don't continue to trust in a misinterpretation of a few verses, in a doctrine that is of the devil, when you need to believe in Jesus Christ alone to be saved. You are sinful, you're wicked and lost, just as I was, just as everybody starts out, and you need to believe in Jesus Christ to be justified by faith in Him. And if you won't, you're going to get what you deserve. And if we get what we deserve, we're not going to like it, okay? And trusting in a man-made doctrine of an organization that didn't exist for 1,800 years isn't going to help you out. You need to trust in Christ alone for salvation. And I can't explain to you how important it is that you actually make sure that you get right on this thing. Okay? This isn't just an academic thing. This is about eternity either with God in endless bliss. Eternity with bliss with God, or eternity being tormented forever and ever in inconceivable anguish and horror and torture. And you, if you believe that you need to be baptized to be saved, you're being led astray by false teaching, and you're going to be tormented in the lake of fire, and that's going to be a terrible thing. So study this out. Don't continue to believe that. Don't go that way. Don't take four verses and ignore the rest of Scripture and take nice fancy charts. When you stand before God and you're punished for what you deserve, you don't get Christ's righteousness, you have your own righteousness, and that's what you get. All the stuff that's all this little, the cloudy stuff, the smoke screens, it's not going to work out for you. All that stuff, you're going to see, this is a terrible decision, and I had this tremendous opportunity to have the truth, and I didn't act on that. Don't do that. Don't let that be you. Don't let that be you, because it will be you unless you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ alone, by faith alone, for salvation. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. We've already shown how all the verses that he shows don't actually prove his thing. He hasn't dealt with tons and tons of arguments that we've shown. Tons of them. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
Gentlemen, moderators, Mr. Ross, brothers and sisters in Christ, and ladies and gentlemen, Liddell and Scott give the etymology of the word new, and they show from ancient Greek the etymology of it. That's what the whole list there will show. But, as Thayer says, what was the meaning of the Koine Greek? Yes, the meaning of the term initially and originally had to do with that which was lately slaughtered, freshly killed. But the Septuagint version, the Greek of Old Testament, says in Ecclesiastes 1 and verse 9 about the things new, anything new under the sun. Wasn't talking about freshly slaughtered, but new as to time. And Thayer says, recently or very lately made new, and cites Hebrews 10:20.
Folks, when you go look over there, then you come look over here, and we'll show you what it meant in ancient times, the etymology of the term, as opposed to what it was used in Hebrews 10:20, and the truth will stand. They had the Old Testament sacrifices, and they entered into a holy place made with hands, but now we have a new and living way through the veil that is His flesh. That is the new and the living way, and that's all there is to that. And he's wrong about it, as usual. He cited Jeremiah 17:9, but verse 23 is the answer. We gave to that the other night. Cited Psalm 51:5, conceived in sin, but acts in iniquity, born in iniquity, but men were born in a certain, born in their tongue. Acts 2 and verse 8 doesn't mean they were speaking tongues when they were born. 58:3, he says, all men go astray. They weren't born astray, sir. That's what you need to find. In Genesis 6:5, he cited, they were evil from their thoughts, not from their birth, Mr. Ross. And he said in Isaiah 64:6, we're not acceptable, but he mentions our iniquities in that verse and not Adam's. And he said, in the flesh we can't please God, and in the context that is true, but those in the Spirit can please God and do. And you get in the Spirit by gospel obedience. We're gone astray, not born astray. And then he came to James 2:10 and said, if we offend in one point, we're guilty of all, unless you're a Baptist. And once you're saved, you're always saved, and you can violate every law and go to heaven. Before you become a child of God, you can do nothing right. You help an old lady across the street. You help an old man. You do good. You bring groceries to the sick and the afflicted. Nothing you do is right. Nothing is pure. Nothing is holy. But after you obey the gospel according to Ross, then anything and everything that you might do that is wrong is all right, and you'll go to glory anyway. He doesn't believe James 2:10. He doesn't believe it. And then Mosaic context, Galatians 3:10, Mr. Ross. And then he had that box. He talked about clever illustrations. And he had a Krispy Kreme box. Chart number 145, please. Chart number 145. Now, he said you can't, everybody that was believed and was baptized, said believers, didn't say they were baptized. Mr. Ross, Paul said, I beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. Ananias said, Paul had done much evil to thy saints at Jerusalem. Those in Damascus said of Paul, is not this he which destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem? So they believed, they were his saints, they called on the name of the Lord in Jerusalem, at Jerusalem, in Jerusalem. And what had these ones who are called believers and saints had done in Jerusalem? They had repented and been baptized in the name of Christ. So there, sir, is your believer, your baptized believer, in your box. And you're the one now been put in the box. Go to Acts 16:34. Acts 16:34, after they were told to believe on the Lord, they spoke the word of the Lord, took them the same hour of the night, washed their stripes, baptized he and all his straightway. And verse 34 says they believed. But the believers of Acts 16:34 were baptized believers, even though it didn't say it. They were baptized believers. And then he gave Matthew 16:6 and Matthew 26:41, watch and pray. Well, those are not simultaneous and the same, Mr. Ross. I don't deny that some rejoice and shout and all of those things might occur at the same time. But that's not true of repentance and faith. Chart 28. Repentance and faith are not simultaneous. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly, that is, believe affirmedly, that God, believe what? Know what? That God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, what? That they had crucified the Christ and that he was Lord and Christ. What did they do? They were pricked in their heart. Why were they pricked in their heart if they didn't believe it, Mr. Ross? They believed it. And then they said, because they believed he was Lord in Christ, they said, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent. But according to you, since they'd already believed, and obviously they believed, they'd already repented. But Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you. So that doesn't help you, Mr. Ross. And then he came to John 3:14, and he cited, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. You know what they had to do, though, Mr. Ross? That's the wrong thing for you. He got on to me for using Jericho and physical things, and I'll be hanged if he didn't go ahead and use lifting up a serpent. What about that, Mr. Ross? Was that a work, Mr. Ross? And not only did he lift up a serpent, that's equal to walking around a wall, wouldn't it be? But he said, Mr. Afer uses physical things. Well, you used the physical thing. They lifted up a servant. It wasn't good enough to look, lift it up. They had to look and live. Two things. Look. Had to believe and then go to look at it. There was looking involved. And that's the same kind of faith that I'm talking about too. The faith that acts, that believes, and a fellow with snake bit out here, and he had to maybe go to where that brazen serpent was on a pole. He looked and lived. There was action, not faith only, Mr. Ross. And then chart 142. Remember, please, friends, they believed ace him. Now, he says the minute anybody does that, he's saved. Unless it doesn't fit Mr. Ross's doctrine. They believed ace him. He said, we got all these passages. Yes, and here's one of them. They believed in him, on him, ace him, on him. And the Bible, in him, rather, and the Bible says they did not confess him. Were they saved? According to you, they'd repented. And then he came to Galatians 5:4. It's an unfortunate passage for him. He said, one work will nullify grace, will buy by faith. This is the work of God that you believe, Mr. Ross, buy by faith. He said in Galatians, he cited Galatians 5:1-4. And we get ready for that debate on apostasy. And that we've not received any yes or signed propositions from any of these folks. Hope they can find a Baptist brother that'll debate it. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Christ could become of no effect unto you unless he had been of some effect to them. So you just get ready for that in that debate. He said, no law can save us. Chart number 6. He said, no law can save us. The law of Moses, law of the Roman church, law of baptism, law of trying to live a good life, law of Christ, no law can save. He said that tonight. All right. This statement nullifies the law of faith. It nullifies also the law of the Spirit. And it nullifies the perfect law of liberty. He said, no law. So that would nullify the law of faith and the law of the Spirit. Chart number 7. Mr. Ross, listen, we are to be judged by the law of liberty, but we are to be judged by the words of Christ, John 12:48. Therefore, the words of Christ cannot save because they are the law of liberty. Do you see that? We're judged by what? The law of liberty. But we're judged by the words of Christ. The words of Christ are the law of liberty. But he said, we cannot be justified. We cannot, these words cannot help us. So he's denying the law of liberty, the words of Christ. And yet he appeals to the words of Christ to save, John 5:24. Chart number 8. No law, he says. No law can save us. Look, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus have made me free from the law of sin and death. You know what the law of sin and death is? You sin, you're going to die. That's its law. You sin, you're going to die. That's the law of sin and death. Now, what makes me free from that? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, not out of Christ, in Christ, baptized into Christ, have made me free from the law of sin and death. But he says, not even the law of Christ. So he cuts out the law of the Spirit. According to the Apostle Paul, the law of the Spirit can do that which Mr. Ross says cannot be done. My, my, Mr. Ross. Surely you knew that was in there. And he said in Romans 11:6.
New charts. New charts. They're all new charts.
You said you're quoting your statement. So this is not introducing new material.
That's
you're
the difference.
That's what we said. That's what we said too.
No.
Hold my time.
Chart making a new argument. He's quoting what you said.
I have
no new charts. You told me that during my no new charts.
No.
New charts introducing new arguments.
Yes. It's not the new.
You're not making a new argument.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not making a new argument. Yes, you made an argument on the law. He said, no law can save us. A lot of folks are nodding.
This exchange.
Yeah.
Okay, so he's reviewing it.
Right.
But what he did, though, he presented not only a new chart, but made new arguments, see. That was the difference here.
Go ahead.
You've got my time held? Okay. So you see the point, folks? You see the point? I believe that you do. All right. And then he came to Ephesians 2, chart number 64. He said, we're saved by grace through faith, not of works. Folks, I'm the one that argued that for two nights. Yes, sir, we're saved by grace through faith. But to whom did Paul say, you're saved by grace through faith, not of works? To those who had heard? to those who had earlier believed, to those who had repented, to those who had formerly confessed, and to those who had been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sins, to those folks, he wrote a letter and said, you are the ones saved by grace through faith. That's my passage, Mr. Ross, not yours. And then he said, Romans 11:6, it's 100% faith or 100% works. By faith. This is the work of God that ye believe. Ye believe. It's something you do. Belief is something you have to do. And then he said, Mr. Haefeli never did deal with Romans 4. Were you asleep, Mr. Ross? Chart number 211. Were you asleep? Abraham's faith was counted for righteousness and was an obedient faith that had been one for many years. By faith, Abraham obeyed and he went out. That was Genesis 12. Long time before Genesis 15:6. Years later, after he obeyed and went out, his faith, an active, obedient faith, was counted unto him for righteousness. Abraham's justifying faith, unlike that of my opponent, had steps to walk in. I didn't cover Romans 4. What's wrong with you, Mr. Ross? Chart number 279. Chart 279. Did he ever deal with this? Mr. Haefeli's so mixed up on 4. Well, I wonder how clear he was. I asked him, Abraham believed, his faith was counted for righteousness. Did Abraham believe? Was his faith counted because of the righteousness he already had? According to you, in Acts 2:38, that was his meaning. Or was it in order to receive righteousness, Mr. Ross? Chart 280. Opponent says, well, this means being justified by faith, that's faith only. Let the Holy Spirit explain. God made promise to Abraham saying, I will bless thee. You going to bless Abraham, God? Yes, sir. I'm going to bless Abraham. And so, after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Thank you, Mr. Ross, for bringing that up and reminding me I need to go over it again. Chart number 281. Opponent says, well, this means faith only. Let the Holy Spirit explain. We're to walk in the steps of that faith. That faith has steps of Abraham. By faith, Abraham obeyed and he went out. That was probably 2 decades before Genesis 15:6, Mr. Ross, where his faith was counted to him for righteousness. Now there's the divine interpretation, Mr. Ross. Chart number 315, please. He says, I believe the word of grace. God teaches salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, plus nothing. That's his proposition. That's all of it. We'll take that one down. I see some things there I didn't note. Chart number 73, please. Now, folks, this will answer a good bit of his whole argument, Romans 4 and Galatians and everything. So follow me. We know that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I believe that and I preach it. I do not frustrate the grace of God. If righteousness come by the law, Christ is dead in vain. But no man could keep the law. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. He said, that's not talking about the law of Moses. Well, what is the written in the book of the law? What writing would that be referred to if it wasn't the law of Moses, Mr. Ross? He got up here and said Galatians 3:10 wasn't referring to the Mosaic law. And the very text, Mr. Ross, bless your soul, speaks of the written in the book of the law. What written book was that? For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man that doeth those things shall live by them. What law was that, Mr. Ross? See, if you kept the whole law and never sinned, God would owe you salvation. That'd be salvation by works. But once you sin, you need God's grace. So, the law, the Old Testament law, what was its purpose? Watch this, friends. The law was our schoolmaster, our tutor, to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith is come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Why? For, to introduce the reason, the reason you're no longer under the law, but you're under Christ, is for you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Not out of Christ, but in Christ. Now, what is the reason that you're all children of God presently now by faith in Christ? For the reason is, Gar, as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And we shall interrupt ourselves and go to Galatians 3:28. Now, in Galatians 3:28, he gave this argument. I didn't see any argument to it. It was just a hedge and a dodge, but now that he says that I'm dodging, go to Galatians 3:28. Now let's look at it. Verse 26. The reason you're all children, the reason that you're not under the law is because you're all the children of God by faith in Christ. And the reason for that is many of you have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female. Why is that? Gar, for, to show you the reason is, the reason that there's neither male nor female, bond or free, Jew or Gentile, the reason for that is that you're all one in Christ Jesus. Isn't that simple? What's hard about that, Mr. Ross? That's what I believe, what I preach. Now, I tell you, he takes the latter gar there. We're all one in Christ Jesus. That's why we're neither Jew nor Greek, bond or free, male or female. All right, will you take the gar in 26 and 27? I'll take them all three. But he won't take the first two. But I will. Now, that's the explanation of the passage. And that's how simple it is, Mr. Ross. Chart 104, please. Oh, wait. Let's go back. Go back to that one. We're 74, 73. Let's go back. Now, notice, the law was our schoolmaster. Bring us unto Christ. All children of God by faith in Christ. Many of you have been baptized into Christ. The reason you're children of God now by faith is for the reason you've been baptized into Christ. And you put on Christ. 74. Now watch. 74. Now watch it, please. Here's what we know now. We are not, Mr. Ross, and you Baptist people, please know this. We are not justified by works of the law,
5 minutes,
but by the faith, the grace of Christ. To be saved by the law, you must keep it all and never sin. But no man ever did that. We're not under the law, for the reason is, Gar, the reason we're not under the law is because we're children of God by faith. And the reason we're children of God by faith is because we have been baptized into Christ. Therefore, now here was the conclusion, which he never noted. Since Paul did not equate being baptized into Christ with being justified by the works of the law, Paul explicitly denies justifying by the works of the law, but says we're children of God having been baptized into Christ. So Paul did not equate being baptized into Christ with being justified works of the law. Neither should we. Since Paul saw no inconsistency with salvation by grace through faith and baptism into Christ, neither should we. Now that's the truth of it, Mr. Ross, chart 64. And so that is what we're saying. Well, 67, please. That's what we've been arguing and saying. All right. He said, the Holy Spirit didn't say he that believeth and is baptized not. But that's what Mr. Hafley says. He said the Holy Spirit didn't make that mistake. And again, he ran to his Book of Mormon for authority. Well, let me show you chart number 60. Let me show you why the Holy Spirit didn't make that mistake. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Suppose that said, he that believeth and is baptized shall receive $1 million. I'll tell you what, Mr. Ross would be soaking wet in about 10 minutes. Wouldn't he? He that believeth and is baptized shall receive $1 million. But he that believeth not, say we're talking about Bill Gates. He that believeth not Bill Gates' offer. You have to say and is baptized not? Well, if he doesn't believe it, it's obvious he's not going to be baptized. You see the point? So look at it.
3 minutes.
He that eateth and digesteth shall live. Well, why doesn't it say he that eateth not and digesteth not shall die? Because, friends, if you don't eat, you're not going to digest. You'd have to go to the Book of Mormon to find that. The Book of Mormon would say he that eateth and digesteth not. That's his authority. He cites the Mormons and Alexander Campbell and calls me the Campbellite. And says, my organization, he called it, my organization, I don't have an organization. He said it didn't exist for 1,800 years. Chart number 218. We've introduced this. Mr. Ross, didn't you know that churches of Christ have been in the Bible for more than 2,000 years? And yet he said it wasn't until the 1800 years. I read it there, but I challenge him to find any reference to a Baptist church or to Baptist churches in any literature, either sacred or secular, in that book which was written before 1600 A.D. Now, after that, I know they refer back, but you can't find any reference to a Baptist church in any literature. And this is discussed in my book, The Christ, the Cross, and the Church, and I hope you'll read it, Identifying Marks of the New Testament Church. All right. Now then, friends, we come to the last portion of this debate. I believe I've covered everything, item by item, statement by statement. And I wish to show you again chart number 28. And I believe you can see it. I believe you can understand it. Know this assuredly, folks. God has made that one you killed, made that Jesus, the one you killed, made him Lord in Christ. Now, I know they had to believe it or else they wouldn't have been cut in their heart. And they were pricked in their heart. And they said, in view of that he is Lord in Christ and we've killed him, what shall we do? Now, if they didn't believe it, would it have been pricked in their heart? No, they believed it. And they said, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent. He didn't say, well, since you believed it, you've already repented. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. And Mr. Ross said that means on account of. That means on account of. No, Mr. Ross, you're mistaken about that. Notice, please, that the book of God says in chart number 31, notice what the book of God says. You see what it says? Regarding the preposition ace, Thayer says it means to obtain the forgiveness of sins. Chart number 55. Jesus shed his blood for the remission of sins. Mr. Ross said it means in order to there. Even though there's some hundreds of definitions, over 1,000 definitions, he can narrow it down to blood for the remission of sins in order to. But in Acts 2, he doesn't. In Acts 2, he doesn't want that. Chart number 56. When this debate is done and he gets through with all of his boxes and all of his clever Krispy Kremes, the book will still say, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's what the Son of God said. Here sits the man that denies it and denounces it. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.